we're doing the Chafetz Chaim. We're on page Kuf Vav, and this halacha in the Chafetz Chaim is based on a story in Tractate Yuma. The Talmud tells us that there were families that knew secrets about how to make the showbread for the temple. There was a family that knew the secret of what special grass to include in the ktores so that the smoke would go up like a pillar and even the winds couldn't move the smoke. The smoke of the ktores would go up like a straight line and then it would spread out. And the smoke of the ktores was had such a powerful stream that the strongest winds couldn't shift it. Now this was a scientific secret. I mean, it can sound like a miracle, but the Talmud says there were secrets as to what grass to include in the burnings to get the smoke to go the right way. So the Talmud is expanding on a Mishnah. The Mishnah, in the end of the first chapter of Tractate Yuma, says we remember certain people for shame, the Jewish Hall of Shame. Yes, and the Mishnah. After the Mishnah had recounted those that were remembered for praise, the Kohen who instituted special types of faucets for the other Kohanim, the queen who made a special chandelier that shone throughout Jerusalem, the queen who prepared the Parsha of Sota on a gold tablet. Then the Talmud says, these people we remember for praise, and you know what? Our people we remember for shame. And then it starts listing. There was a Levite who knew how to sing a special way to make the song of the temple beautiful, and he wouldn't tell anyone else how to do it. There was a family that knew how to make the showbread, and they weren't willing to tell anyone else. And there was a family that knew how to make the incense, as we said, go up in a straight line, make the smoke go up in a straight line, and they wouldn't reveal how. And the Mishnah says, we remember the first ones for blessings, we remember the last ones for shame, we remember them for eternity for shame. Now the question is, how are you publicizing what someone did wrong? What transgression did they do? It says the courts, the rabbis called them in and said, you have to reveal how you do it. Other people have to be able to do it. And they said, we're not. They wouldn't listen to the courts. So the rabbis said, we're firing you. Goodbye. They fired them and they brought in scientists from Egypt. And they told the scientists, you guys tell us how to do it. Because the scientists had said, for sure we could do it. And then the scientists from Alexandria came in. And they gave their formulation, and it didn't work. So the rabbis went back to these families, Beit Avtinas and Beit Garmu, and they said, okay, guys, we need to hire you again. And Beit Avtinas and Beit Garmu, these two families, they said, no, you fired us, goodbye, manage on your own. And the rabbis said, no, we need you back. We can't make it work. The scientists from Alexandria aren't figuring it out. You guys know the secret. And they said, sorry, where the price is higher, and they had to pay them double the salary. They made much more money now because they said, you see, you guys need us, huh? So now you really know we cornered the market. And they had an excuse. They said, if we reveal how to make this bread, if we reveal how to make the smoke, then people will use it in pagan worship, so we have to keep it a secret so they don't take it for the pagan churches. But the rabbis didn't agree with their excuse. And the rabbis told them to reveal the secret and they wouldn't listen to the courts. And so the Mishnah records them for shame. So the Chafetz Chaim is really addressing the question, why did they do that? We know these families were wrong. The courts told them to do one way and they didn't listen to the rabbis. But what the rabbis did to these families is that every child knows Beit Avtinas and Beit Garmu. These are the families in the Jewish Hall of Shame. Every child learns the Mishnayot in Yuma, and anyone that's learned a little bit knows, oh, those are the families we look down at. Wait a second, what about Lashon Hara? Why was it permissible for the rabbis to record in the Mishnah that these families should be shamed? We remember them for shame. So that's the question the Chafetz Chaim is addressing in this paragraph. We're on page Kuf Vav, the eighth paragraph. When the courts tell someone to do something, they tell him something which is proactive. It doesn't matter if the courts told him to do something proactive between man and his fellow man, or something between him and his creator. And he is adamant, he is not listening to the courts. And he doesn't have a good excuse. Meaning these families came up with a convoluted excuse, and the rabbi said, that's not the real reason, and we don't accept it. You should be telling other people how to make this. Then it is permissible to tell over that person's shame. It's even permissible to write down for generations. So-and-so, you should remember what he did wrong. Wow, it's always mind-boggling to me what these families did to themselves. We don't know about too many other families. You ask someone, what is Yodfat? People don't know there was a family of Kohanim there. There are so many cities that we barely know. It's mentioned somewhere in an obscure place in Talmud. People don't know. But these families, everyone remembers. Everyone remembers. They really, you know, they made a little bit of money for a little bit of time, but for eternity they remembered for shame. So that's what the Chafetz Chaim derives from that story. That if the courts told someone to do something and they refuse, so then it's permissible to recount and even record for generations what that person did wrong. You know, there's an interesting discussion in Talmud where the Mishnah discusses why did Tzlafchad die? We know there are the daughters of Tzlafchad. So the daughters of Tzlafchad say, our father died in the desert. He wasn't part of the congregation of Korach. So the Mishnah discusses what he did wrong. And then at one point the Mishnah says, if the Torah kept it hidden, why are you revealing it? Why should we tell what he did wrong? The Torah just said, ki vechet omet. He did whatever he did to deserve to die. And he had no sons, only daughters. And that's how the daughters of Tzlafchad presented to Moshe. So the Mishnah asks, why are you publicizing what he did wrong? Why is it permissible to tell everyone in the Mishnah? So that's the idea the Chafetz Chaim is revolving around. And if a person gives excuses, where the excuses really depend on what his true intention is, not what his excuses are, so then we go like this. Sometimes, you know, a guy's giving an excuse, and it's not true. He's just got to say something for himself, like these families, Beit Avtinas and Beit Garmu. The rabbis heard their excuse, and the rabbis said, no, your excuse doesn't hold water. You're giving an excuse. You really just want to keep the money to yourself. You should really be revealing to other people how you do this service in the temple. So then, we don't have to believe him. The courts can say he's just giving an excuse. It's not true. And that's what the courts did with Beit Avtinas and Beit Garmu, and they recorded their shame. For eternity, it's recorded. These families would not reveal the secret of how to make the showbread. They would not reveal the secret of how to make the ktores. And it can even be recorded for generations, as we see the rabbis did. But if you're not sure, maybe his excuse is real. Maybe he really isn't. He has a good reason why he's not doing it. So then, asul esapel bignuto, it is prohibited to speak about what the person did wrong because you're not sure if what he did is right or wrong. So that's this halacha, that when the courts tell someone to do it and they refuse, it's permissible to publicize that so long as they don't have an acceptable excuse. Even if they have an excuse and you see they're just saying to get as an excuse that's not real, so then it's still permissible to record it even for generations, as we see the Mishnah did, record it for generations. Now, I have a question on this Chafetz Chaim, because the Chafetz Chaim is equating what anyone will do with what these families did. And I would have thought that there's room to discern between what they did, which affected the tradition of all of Israel, meaning I view what they did as having a greater gravity than a circumstance where two people are neighbors, and the courts tell one guy, you know, you should, let's say the guy went to the courts and told the courts that so-and-so built illegally, they should take down his house. So the Jewish court tells him, you shouldn't go to the authorities. You really should rescind your claim against him because halachically you have no basis, and it's wrong that you'll bring the non-Jewish courts to tear down his house. And the guy doesn't listen. So the guy did a terrible thing, and now illegally he caused his neighbor's house to be torn down. These are things that happen every day here in Israel, unfortunately. People can be neighbors to one another, and if they go to the authorities and say, you know, my neighbor built an extension, and it's illegal. So when you complain, then the courts have to respond. Very often the courts are willing to turn a blind eye, so long as no neighbor complains. And then over time, you might actually get it ratified by the law. But neighbors will sometimes complain. And then they can really inflict harm upon their neighbors. And sometimes you go to a Jewish court, and the Jewish court says, don't do it. You shouldn't complain against your neighbor. You have no halachic basis for it. What he did doesn't affect you. And then the person won't listen. So that's pretty grave, okay? He's inflicting monetary harm upon his neighbor. Granted. But can we really compare that to what these families did? What they did was global in nature. What they did affected the tradition of all of Israel. By keeping it secret, we lost that tradition. I don't know, the Chafetz Chaim learns from that to other instances. He made it a blanket rule here. He said, if someone doesn't listen to the courts, you're allowed to publicize them and even write it in the history books. I'm not sure that I understand why it's comparable. Meaning, even though in the example I gave, what the person did was wrong, but what he did affected an individual. What they did affected the people of Israel. And yet the Chafetz Chaim says, from there we learn this halacha, so I don't know. I don't know why that's comparable.